Hello, everyone, and welcome to Around Town. This is Ron Giordano, your host. We hope to bring you interesting topics each and every show that we present to you. We are broadcasting from 101.5 FM, WHRULP, the Huntley Community Radio Station. With us today, we have a guest, Misty Mariner. Misty, welcome to our show.
Thank you for having me.
Can you tell us a little bit about what your job is, Misty, and what you're doing so the listeners know who and what you are?
Absolutely. I am the Executive Director of the Child Advocacy Center of McHenry County. We are a not-for-profit located in Crystal Lake. Our mission is to reduce the trauma of child abuse victims, whether it's sexual abuse, physical abuse, or victims, witnesses of violent crimes.
So what is the history of the Child Advocacy Center?
So in 1999, legislation was passed that every county needed to produce a protocol on dealing with child abuse. So that legislation passed, and the Child Advocacy Advisory Board was created that consists of agencies across McHenry County, including law enforcement, the hospitals, the schools, state's attorney's office, DCFS, medical health, and mental health. And they created the protocol on how to handle child abuse. 2 years later, in 2001, the actual building was created. So instead of a child going to the police department to tell their story and then going to the hospital to tell their story, then speaking with DCFS, it was determined that it was better that a child go to a child-neutral friendly building instead of going to a police station. So that actual building was created, and that's how the CAC started.
And when was that building created, Misty?
2001.
That's great. So the children go there, and once they're in that building then, who takes over from there?
So our advocate or intake coordinator will meet with the family. So we do not allow offenders on premise. So a non-offending family member must be a biological parent or a guardian, a legal guardian. They will bring the child to the center. They're then greeted, and they come into what looks like, you know, a family waiting room, a family living room. There's toys, there's TVs, there's sofas, little chairs, everything that a child needs to play with and get comfortable to where they're at.
And how long would a child be there then once they enter the center?
An interview from beginning to end can take anywhere from 45 minutes to about an hour, hour and a half.
I'm sure that during this period of time, you've seen a lot of cases that are really very, very sad and very heart-wrenching situations.
I have.
How does your team work? How's the team operate?
So our staff consists of myself as the director. We have an operations manager who's also the lead forensic interviewer. And then we have a backup interviewer, a child family advocate, an intake coordinator, and an education outreach coordinator.
Okay. And the center itself, It's a center for McHenry County, and you provide all these different services. Is that correct?
Yes. So we conduct the forensic interviews for law enforcement. So our lead forensic interviewer or backup forensic interviewer will meet with the child in a room, and it is just them two in this room. In another room, an observation room, MDT is there, which consists of law enforcement, DCFS, if they are involved, the state's attorney's office, and they're watching from another room. And this way, we get to talk to the child one time. We hope to only interview a child one time, but this way the whole team is there. So if there's any questions that maybe law enforcement need to ask, they can ask the forensic interviewer to get those facts from the child at that time.
How do you get that child to open up? I mean, I'm sure a lot of children are very, very fearful and afraid they're going to get in trouble by saying something. How do you go about doing that?
So we go through extensive training. You need to go through training to become a forensic interviewer. And it's building rapport with the child, letting them know that they are believed, that we're there to listen to them. We build rapport first. We just talk about them, what their likes, dislikes, about school, their families. Just get them comfortable with meeting with us.
Does that normally take more than one session for some children?
Not necessarily. With the training that we go through, we're able to build rapport with them. And we also have a comfort dog, Apple. So with Apple being in the room, that helps children a lot.
Is Apple a dog that had surgery?
Yes,
not too long ago.
She is.
You want to tell the folks about that?
Yes. So Apple is our golden retriever. She's beautiful. She's the princess of the center. She was recently diagnosed with cancer on her jawbone. She had bone cancer, and they removed part of her jaw. But she is cancer-free, and we're glad to have her back. She was on medical leave for a little bit, but she's back, and we're glad to have her back.
Well, I'm sure the kids love her being there, too,
and, yes.
And it's the friendly warmth of an animal, of a dog.
Yes, she helps our staff as well.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
So how is the CAC funded?
So we are a not-for-profit 501c3. We are state and federal grant-funded, as well as donations from the community. So our community really backs us and supports us in every way.
How does the community know who you are, where you are, to be able to make those donations that people are unaware of what you're doing and where you're located?
Sure. Many people do not know that the CAC exists, whether that's good, bad, or indifferent. It was once a hidden gem. Nobody wants to talk about child sexual abuse or the fact that it does exist. For example, in 2016, we interviewed 200 children from McHenry County. Last year, we interviewed approximately 360 children. So we bring awareness and let people know that this is happening and that there is a place where this child can come to and tell their story and be heard and be believed.
That's quite a number. I think it's hard to believe. Most people don't believe that many children are in that situation.
That's true.
What difficulties has the CAC seen due to COVID?
We remained open during COVID. We deal with the most vulnerable victims in McHenry County, so we needed to stay open so that they had a place that they could come to. The most difficult part was when children went to remote learning. They often did not have those resources that they trust that they can tell about this abuse, or they were at home with their abuser, so they had nobody to turn to. That was the most difficult time. During COVID, we did see more of physical abuse happening, more disclosures on physical abuse. Once the children did go back to school, our numbers increased drastically because they did have those resources. They did have those trusted people that they could talk to.
Misty, you've been in this for some time now. Can you give us some situations of things you've encountered?
Yeah, we've dealt with anything from, a two-year-old, which is very difficult. We interview children 18 and younger and adults with mental disabilities. So sometimes you have that language barrier. Sometimes you have speech delays. So we deal with that. We do deal with the worst of worst that happens to children. So it's very difficult. We focus on vicarious trauma for my staff to make sure that they're handling themselves in a way that they can, and keep going. It's also the most rewarding job when a child tells you their story and they're able to get that out and they know that they've been heard and that you believe them and they can start their healing process. So once a child leaves the CAC, they can start their healing and move on, and it's very rewarding. There are kids that want to give you hugs and kids that say, can we come back here? And, as much as I want to see them again, I don't want to see them at the CAC. So we tell them, no, you cannot come back here.
So having a family of your own, how do you cope with that?
It's very difficult. I'm a retired police officer. I have these talks with my children because the abuser's not always in the house. People want to believe that there's kidnappers on the street that, this random van pulls up and grabs your child. And as that does happen, that is very rare. In my 16 years in law enforcement, I never had a case like that. Children usually 90% of the time know their abuser. They love their abuser. They don't want to see their abuser in trouble. It's what they know in life, and usually it starts at a younger age. Grooming is the number one sign for child abuse.
Is that abuser usually someone in the home, or could it be outside the home?
It could be outside of the home, a family member outside of the home, mom's boyfriend, dad's girlfriend, a cousin, a neighbor, a coach, but the victim usually knows their abuser.
Not too long ago, you had a fundraiser in Woodstock at the Moose. Can you tell us a little bit about that?
Yes. So the Woodstock Moose Lodge hosted a fundraiser for us. I can't remember if it was beginning of November or end of October. But prior to everyone arriving, a woman came up to me and told me that she was celebrating twofold that night. She wanted to thank the CAC and support the CAC, but she was also celebrating her daughter had come through the CAC. And that week was the offender's trial. And this fundraiser was on a Saturday. So Friday, the offender pled guilty and will spend the rest of his life in prison. And they were there to celebrate that they finally got that freedom.
And how's the daughter doing now?
She is doing really good. She was all smiles that night. She was also present. It was just good to see. She had gone through such a horrific event throughout many years at the hands of someone that she knew and loved. And to see her smile and just want to move on in life, that you just know she's going to be okay. And that's the most rewarding part.
How old was she when the offense began?
She was young. I can't remember exactly how young she was, but I know that this abuse went on for several years.
How sad that is.
Yes.
But now she's a happy young
lady. She is very happy.
So how can people assist the CAC? What can they do?
Well, first off, I just want to talk about listening. If a child comes to you, they come to you because they trust you. So if a child wants to talk to you about abuse, you need to listen to them and tell them that they're believed. And most importantly, let them know that they are not in trouble. This is not their fault. And then, secondly, to report. Make sure that you report it to DCFS, to law enforcement, to those agencies that can help this child. Let the child know that you will get them help, but don't interview and don't interrogate them. You don't want to put words into a child's mouth, because when we do our interviews, we let the child tell their story. Whatever word they use, whatever body part they use, those are the words we use because it's their story. We have no right to change that from them. So to listen, we also receive donations and, you know, whether every child that comes in the center gets snacks and drinks. And if they're there for a very long time, you know, we'll order food and things like that. But every child that comes into the center, whether they are a victim or a sibling, they'll get stuffed animals. So we give stuffed animals to everybody that comes there. We often have children who come who are in the foster system. We have children who arrive at the center who will not be leaving with who they came with. So we make sure that we have clothing on hand. We have backpacks, pillows, hygiene items, things like that. So we try to keep those things stocked. And usually we receive them through different drives. If a hospital or somebody has a drive for us, they'll, you know, collect certain hygiene items or whatever and bring them to the center so that we make sure we have those.
You're listening to Huntley Radio, Community Radio at 101.5 FM, WHRULP. For any more information you'd like to know about the show or any other show on Huntley Radio, go to huntleyradio.com, click on Contact Us, and you'll get all the information that you need right there, right at your fingertips. And we thank you for listening, and we want to continue on with Misty with her program and what she's doing to help the community.
Thank you.
So, Misty, when you're having all these things you have to do for all these children, what do you need? What is the cost per child to be able to support what you need with the clothing, the food, and things like this? What does it come out to per child? Do you have any idea?
Every interview is approximately, if we break it down per victim, that comes in is approximately $1,200. And we do all the forensic interviews. We provide advocacy. So if a family would like us to go to court with them, we will. If they need help getting a restraining order of protection, if they just need monetary funding, we keep gift cards on hand. We do not charge law enforcement for these interviews. We provide medical exams. So if any penetration on a child, we will refer out to a child pediatric specialist who deals with child abuse. And we pay for those medical exams. We refer them out for mental health therapy. We work with different providers throughout McHenry County to make sure that they cover all insurance or pro bono or whatever it may be. But we do this at no cost to the family or to any agency that comes to the center.
That's a large bucket to fill.
It is.
Do you know what that comes out to per child, what you really need to support that?
Per interview or per child, it's about $1,200.
Does that include all the things, that the testing, the outside sources, things like that? Is it all included in $1,200?
Yes.
That's still a lot of money, because how many children do you have at a given time? Do you know offhand?
Well, last year we did about 350 to 360 children.
That's a big bucket to fill.
Yes.
So how many fundraisers do you have to have per year to be able to support this program?
Well, due to COVID, we did not have any fundraisers over the past 2 to 3 years. The community really stepped up. The mental health board helped us out. In 2019, fines and fees were restructured. We used to receive fines and fees from the courthouse, and that was restructured and it reduced our fines. It took away approximately half of our budget. So with the other agencies, you know, helping us out to, you know, understanding the needs of the CAC, we are having a fundraiser coming up. We're having trivia nights. And for more information, it'll be on our website. So we try to have two large fundraisers a year.
And where are those fundraisers held? The same location?
No, anywhere throughout McHenry County.
Okay, so the one that's coming up in the near future, do you have a location for that one, Misty?
We believe it's going to be in Woodstock. The venue that we were having it at is shutting down, so we're currently looking for a new one right now, but we believe it's going to be in Woodstock.
Okay, so here again, if people want to find out more information, go to your website?
Yes, www.mchenrycac.org.
Okay, so you want to give that one more time?
www.mchenrycac.org.
So now at this point, what can the public do to assist you? What are the things they can do? I'm sure a lot of people out there don't realize the magnitude of what's going on in the community. What can they do?
Reach out to our website. We have our Amazon wish list on there. We have a Facebook page for different ways that support us. We often have just small little fundraisers, whether it's a dine and share or things like that, or give us a call and we'll let you know what our needs are at that time, because it changes whether we need snacks for the children or juice boxes or blankets and pillows or things like that.
And what number would they call, Misty?
I can be reached at 815-334-9597.
Can you repeat that one more time?
815-334-9597.
And where is your office located now?
It's in Crystal Lake. We recently moved from Woodstock.
Okay. And in Crystal Lake, can people stop by that office? Is that okay?
If they call first, we need to keep the confidentiality of our victims. So if they reach out to us, we would love to do tours. We also do prevention and outreach. So we will go out to the schools, do an education seminar, do any presentations. So if someone just wants to know, has questions or concerns or not sure on what signs to look for, if they give us a call, we'll definitely.
Can you tell us a bit about the seminars you put on? What, if people made that request, what would the seminar be like?
So unfortunately, we are the aftermath of child abuse. So our seminars are usually how to handle disclosures. But we also do on human trafficking. We deal with human trafficking victims, child victims, that is in McHenry County. So we've had victims of human trafficking come through the center. So we'll talk about some of those signs, what you can look for, apps that parents could put on their phone to monitor what their children are doing, and not to micromanage their children, but just to make sure that they're safe and who they're talking to. There's other signs, you know, sexualized behavior. If it's normal for children to go through different phases of sexual behavior and how they act and whatnot, but if you give us a call, we could let you know, my four-year-old is doing this. Is this normal? We're not, you know, experts on those signs. Right. However, we can tell you this is what we see and this is what we've experienced.
So the parent can make that call to you and
absolutely
say, this is what I'm seeing, and then they get that advice from you.
Yes, absolutely.
That's awesome. Is there anything else that you'd like to share from the standpoint of what you've seen in your years of service that can maybe help someone out there that's not sure whether it is a problem, not a problem, that maybe some signs that they should look for?
Absolutely. I believe that if it does not sit well in your stomach, if you have a gut feeling that something just isn't right, then you need to reach out to your local authorities, you know, reach out to law enforcement. Coming firsthand as a retired police officer, I rather respond and talk to a child and realize nothing is going on, take those precautions, than to not have investigated that case at all. So if it does not sit right with you at all, please report it.
Are there signs that the parent can pick up on what the child is doing? Are they all of a sudden they are quiet or they're not speaking? What are some of the things that would happen with a child to give an indication to the parent that something's not right?
Usually it's grooming. Know who your children are around. If you see that they have more money or they're getting their nails done or they have new clothes or new gym shoes or they're always going out with their coach after practice for ice cream and not coming home till late, you know, ask your children, talk to your children. Definitely don't question them, but ask them if everything's okay. I have three young girls and I spoke with them at a very young age about body safety. What's okay with them, what's not okay with them. Even if they don't want to give a hug to a family member, hello, it's okay, it's their body. No one's going to force them to do that. So, you know, never force your child to give grandpa a kiss on the cheek if they don't want to. It's their safety zone. So, again, I had those talks with my children at a very young age and let them know that they could come and tell me anything. They would never be in trouble and we would talk things through. So, most important, you know, no child is too young to talk to about their body safety. It's we tell children that no one should touch them or their bathing suit covers. And that's usually how we get into our interviews. So, you know, we talk about touches, what's okay with them, what's not okay with a child. And we never force a child to disclose any abuse, even if it has been reported and known. We do not force a child. We get into those questions. We ask open-ended questions. We never ask a leading question. So we'll say, what touches do you like? And they may say, I like when my mom gives me hugs. Who else gives you hugs? Are there any touches you don't like? I don't like when so-and-so does this. Okay, tell me about that. Tell me about that touch. And that's often how the child gets comfortable in telling us their story. So again, we tell them anything that's covered by a bathing suit, if they don't like that, no one should touch in those areas unless it's a doctor to make sure they're okay or mom and dad to make sure they're okay. But there's boundaries and limits when it comes to that as well.
That must be difficult to get a child to open up when you're one-on-one with them, the parent's not there, to admit to what's going on. How do you bring that out of them? I mean, that's got to be very difficult.
It is, again, what we're trained to do so. We talk about those touches and what's okay and what's not okay. And they open up then. They always tell their story. We will never go in there saying, tell us what Uncle Bob did to you. We wouldn't do anything like that. If a child does not disclose during an interview, we will refer them out for mental health therapy, because sometimes during sessions with a mental health therapist, they'll be able to start their healing process and be able to disclose what has happened to them in the past. And we tell parents that, or non-offending family members, that just because a child does not disclose when we interview them does not mean that the abuse did not happen. It just means they are not ready to tell their story, and we are not ones to force them. It is their story, their time to heal. So everything we do is based around the child.
So we cover what the cost is per child at $1,200. Now, what about the staff, yourself, your staff, the rent for the facility that you're in right now?
Yes.
Who covers all of that?
Grants. So we apply for federal and local grants to cover all of those costs.
Has that gotten more difficult in recent years?
Yes. Yes, funding has been difficult, especially during COVID and not being able to have those fundraisers our donor list kind of diminished during COVID time. It was a scary time for people. So it is difficult, but again, we do have that community that really backs us. When Apple was diagnosed with cancer, we had a fundraiser for her, and the community pulled through and not only paid for her surgery and treatments, but she has to go for follow-ups. She was going every 6 months, now it's every year. So they paid for those follow-ups as well. So
that's great. And how old is Apple now?
I believe she's 4 or 5.
Oh, she's just a kid.
Yeah, she's a baby.
So your salary is dependent on grants, basically.
Yes. My staff is based on grants, yes.
And how large is the staff?
So when I first started, we were a staff of 3. We are now about to become a staff of 7.
That's great. Now, the facility you have in Crystal Lake, is that a... How large is that facility? Because you have to have rooms for children and things like that, right?
Yes. So we were in Woodstock, and our building there, we shared. We were in the back of the building for privacy matters. And we now have our own standalone building in Crystal Lake. Unfortunately, it is larger because our numbers are increasing. But it also allows us to have a medical room at the CAC. We used to rent a room from the hospital. We now have a medical room in the CAC. So our medical team will come out to us to conduct those physicals on these children. We also have a room for a therapist, which we are hiring at this time.
So another example would be, real quickly, how about a grandparent? If a grandparent sees something, have you had that happen too?
Oh, plenty of times, yes. Yes.
Go ahead.
Yes, so again, we don't let offenders on the premise, but we will allow grandparents if they are the guardian. We only receive referrals from DCFS or law enforcement, so it does have to be a criminal matter for us to interview a child.
Well, thank you very much for sharing your time with us today, Misty, and all the information that you've given us. You've been listening to 101.5 FM, WHRULP, your Huntley Community Radio Station. If you want more information about Christy and her programs, you can contact Christy at
815-334-9597.
And don't be afraid to call, because it's very, very important. And we thank you for listening today, and we hope that you enjoyed the show. If you want us to answer any questions for you, any further information you'd like, go to huntleyradio.com and contact us, and we'll be happy to answer those questions. Thank you again. Have a great day.